Welcome back to another episode of Coffee Convos and Curse Words. I am AJ, and on this episode I will be talking about a three-letter word that still has the power to scare and shock some people. That's right, I'm talking about sex. I'm in no way an expert on this topic, so everything I have to say either comes from research I've done or from my own experiences and conversations I've had with friends. So fill up the cup, sit back, relax, and let's go have a conversation. Lovely listeners, what exactly is sex? Well, despite what you may have been told, the meaning of sex is totally individual. What I might consider sex, the next person won't. To some people, having something inserted inside them may be the only definition of sex. And to other people, foreplay may be considered sex. It is totally individual, and your definition of sex may change as you get older, or it may not. There's no right or wrong answer. I think we all have to remember that our sexuality is a journey, and there's no point that we say, right, we're done, because who, what, how we like things can change day to day or over a lifetime, and it's normal. We need to learn to embrace it, really, and not just for ourselves, but for our partners too. It's important to know that everybody else is not having more or better sex than you. We need to stop comparing ourselves to other couples or what we see in movies or porn, because there's no magic number of times per month that, you know, that we should be having, because, like, that's ridiculous. So I might consider having lots of sex is, you know, once a month, that's a lot of sex. Some people, that might not be anything. It doesn't matter. The questions you should be asking yourself is, are you having enough sex? Is it good for you? And if you answered no to both of those, then maybe we need to sit down and talk to our partners about it. You know, and when we do talk to them, we need to avoid putting them on the defense. You don't want to go in there all guns blazing and be like, ah, our sex life isn't good enough. No. Sit down, calmly talk to them about what we want, what we want to try, what we're getting bored of, because communication is key to a healthy sex life. And of course, when I refer to we, I'm meaning both parties. You know, because we're not mind readers. Unless you tell us, we're just going to keep doing the same 4 or 5 moves, and everybody's gone pretending it's still fun, but actually we're getting bored. And trust me, boring sex is worse than no sex. I'm going to just put that out there. I think people forget pleasure matters. And of course, when I say pleasure, I don't just mean orgasms, because yes, they are fun and, you know, nice and all, but it's not the only goal. You know, intimacy and connection should be goals we aim for, to have great sex. And also, worrying about whether you're going to have an orgasm or not makes it harder to achieve one. And ladies, please don't fake them, because not only will you get exhausted of faking them after a while, you're actually fooling your partner into thinking that you're having, like, a true pleasure experience. And again, they're just going to keep doing the same thing over and over. You're going to get exhausted. You know, then you're going to stop having sex altogether. Then you're going to go find pleasure elsewhere. And yeah, just, like, you know, ripple effect. So just, like, sit down, tell them what you like, what you don't like, and don't worry about it. Relax and just enjoy the moment. I want to divert for a minute and talk about some taboos, because they're only taboo because of the shame or embarrassment that comes from talking about it. And I want to talk about it, so hopefully if someone is listening to this and they think it's a taboo because they feel shame or embarrassment from it, then I just want them to know that it's okay and there's no need to feel that way. So let's begin with talking about period sex. Now, I know what you're thinking. Ew, gross, yuck, whatever. Because there are a lot of people who completely avoid or are so grossed out by period sex, they don't even talk about it. But this shouldn't be the case at all. Just with a little bit of preparation, a little bit of cleanup, period sex can actually be enjoyable. Each person feels different about period sex, just like anything else. Some people find period sex can actually help ease cramps and bloating, and other people find it worsens it. And obviously, there's some downfalls of period sex because, well, obvious one being the mess. Blood can get on you, your partner, the sheets. But aside from dirtying the bed, I think the biggest one is that people feel self-conscious or anxious over making the mess. And of course, others worry about the risk of spreading sexually transmitted infections. Because STIs like HIV and hepatitis live in the blood. So always make sure you wear condoms to stop spread of all infections. And another safety is if you are wearing a tampon, please remove it before penetration, because that's a whole other issue. But here's just a few more tips to make period sex more comfortable and a less messy experience. Put a dark coloured towel on the bed to catch any blood leaks, or to avoid mess completely, just have sex in the bath or shower. No mess. Keep washcloths or wet wipes beside the bed to help with cleanup afterwards. And also, if your sex position is uncomfortable, try something different. I think they do recommend is for the menstruating person to sit on the side and the partner behind. But, you know, and just like any other positive sexual experience, communication and consent are key. So make sure you talk to your partner. Let them know you're on your period and ask if they have a problem with it. Keep communicating throughout so no one feels uncomfortable, and remember, relax, have fun. Another taboo, and slightly controversial, is BDSM. Now, I think it's only controversial because there are so many misconceptions surrounding it. Hopefully, I can debunk some of these and we all have a better understanding of it. So, BDSM, which stands for Bondage, Discipline, Dominant Submission, Sadism, Masochism, is an umbrella term that covers a number of kinks and fetishes. At the root of all the sexual acts that fall under that umbrella, they have one thing in common. It is about consensual roleplay and power exchange. Now, I'm going to make the broad assumption that unless you are a part of the BDSM community, the only understanding you have of BDSM has come from either the novel or the movie of 50 Shades of Grey. Now, while I think the franchise helped bring BDSM into mainstream, I think it needs to be clear. 50 Shades of Grey is not a correct representation of the BDSM community. A big problem with the franchise is that the main character, Anastasia, is pressured into something she's clearly uncomfortable with. And Christian, the other main character, is controlling in other aspects of her life. The community is all about consensual play, and the franchise doesn't depict that. The author also writes about stereotypes, like the fact that Christian is only into BDSM because his mother was abusive. And because a lot of people already have that misconception that people involved in kink either are abused, were abused, or victims, and that most certainly is not the case. The biggest problem, however, with 50 Shades Grey is the disregard for consent. Sure, Christian presents Anastasia with a contract, but he then disregards it. The lack of understanding for safe words is also quite disturbing. In the real BDSM, the submissive has all the power, the one that decides what and can not be done. As in any type of relationship, consent can and should be able to be revoked at any time. I think that's actually something else that is misrepresented in the franchise, is that the understanding of power. Sure, the author gives Christian lots of power and makes Anastasia seem weak, when in all honesty, Anastasia has and should have the power. I honestly could talk about how badly the author got BDSM wrong for ages. So now we've got kind of 50 Shades out of the way, let's get into what BDSM is all about. So let's get into a very basic description of what BDSM is. So bondage and discipline. Bondage literally refers to someone being physically restrained, and discipline refers to a set of rules and punishment usually enforced by the dominant onto the submissive. So dominants and submissives. So sub-dom play is when one person, the sub, the bottom, permits the dom, the top, to be in charge. This may be an arrangement for one night, or it might be a 24/7 arrangement. Sadism is the enjoyment of giving pain, and masochism is the enjoyment of receiving pain. And if you enjoy both, it is called sadomasochist. Now, oh my god, I've been practicing that word for so long. I apologize if I completely butchered that word, but you can look that up. Side note. So before we go any further, we're just going to talk about some BDSM related vocabulary. So aftercare. Now, you don't necessarily have to be in BDSM to know what aftercare is, because in any vanilla relationship, vanilla being non-kink, it's just all about checking in and making sure that they enjoyed themselves. So it's like the wind down after sex, essentially, after play, after a scene. You know, some people's aftercare might be all about talking. Some people's aftercare might be hugs, kisses, drink, food, random chit-chat. Some people's aftercare might be, leave me alone, don't touch me, don't talk to me, leave me by myself. All of it is normal. So safe word or an action, or safe action, it's a word or physical action that means to immediately stop play. Some people go by the traffic light system. Orange meaning to like get easy, I'm getting to my limit. Red being completely stop. And then safe actions could be like tap on the ground, dropping keys, something that is loud. So for example, if you can't verbally express the safe word, then there is an action, so everybody knows that you want to stop. So hard limits, it's just limits that will never be negotiable. It's absolute, final, not. Play space is an area or room dedicated for a scene or BDSM play. And then subspace is a mental space submissives can go through in the middle or at the end of a scene, often described as like a dreamy, floaty type of high. Now, dom space is kind of the same, but it's more of a heightened senses type of high. You also have sub and dom drop. So that is like an emotional and physical low that can begin anywhere from a few hours to a few days after the emotional and endorphin high. So basically, you can go into sub-dom space and have that high, but everything that goes up must come down. And sometimes when it does come down, it hits like a depression. So it can be a very low. It can be like more quite fatigue-like. And then a switch is a person who likes to be both dominant and submissive and changes role depending on the scene or partner. I think we need to talk about a few misconceptions people have about BDSM in general. And I think a big misconception is that people think BDSM is all about hurting people and forcing them to do things they don't want to do. This is absolutely not true, because as I said before, it is all based on consent and negotiation. And it's about acting out fantasies and scenarios in a safe space that both parties have agreed upon after discussing things like hard limits, likes, dislikes, safe words, to stop scenes at any moment, in any sexual activity that doesn't involve consent beforehand is abuse. Now, that is true in any relationship. If you are not consenting, it is abuse. I just want to put that out there. Now, another misconception is that dominants don't have respect for their submissives. And of course, like any relationship, whether it is kink related or not, relationships can be unhealthy, but a true dom is respectful of their sub's feelings and thoughts. Negotiations are discussed beforehand, even before the submissive agrees to be submissive. People also think that the doms have all the power, when actually it's the submissives with all the power. Of course, a dom dominates, but he can't be dominant without the submissive agreeing to submit. The submissive also has the power card of a safe word, which gives the submissives a chance to stop at any moment. Right, now we've talked about some of the nitty-gritty sides of BDSM. Let's talk about some fun shit. So let's talk about some of the different types of BDSM activities. So we have breath play, which is also known as erotic asphyxiation. It involves forms of smothering, choking, other methods of cutting off your oxygen supply. It can lead to a euphoric lightheadedness, bigger orgasms, but it can be extremely dangerous for obvious reasons, so please don't attempt this without proper education and safety precautions. We have orgasm denial. This can be a fun one, especially for doms who like to see their submissive squirm. This type of play involves continual arousal physically, mentally, without being able to experience the release. So the orgasm may be put off to the end of the play session, or it might be put off altogether. It's a form of power play, and it can be used to prolong a scene or encounter, and it may or may not involve bondage. Now, bondage can be as basic or as elaborate as you want it to be. Those new to bondage can keep it simple. Silk scarves, handcuffs, ties. And then for those more experienced, they might be into shibari, rope bondage. But as always, please don't attempt anything new without proper education and safety precautions and a lot of research. And remember, consent, 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 consent. There is so much information out there about BDSM. I literally could talk about this for ages, but I'm not going to. I will also put on my Instagram, which is at coffeeconversecursewords, all the sites that I found all my information at. So if you do want to read about it, be more informed, do a little bit of research, you can just go to one of those sites. Now, I put that wee interlude in there because I want to talk about a very serious topic now, and I do want to issue a trigger warning for anyone who may be triggered, as I'm going to be talking about consent, rape, and sexual assault. So if you do want to stop listening now, I won't be offended, I won't even know, but I just want to put that trigger warning out there, as I don't want anyone to feel triggered about what I'm about to say. So thank you for listening if you are leaving me here, and if not, then we're just going to get straight to it. What exactly is consent? So consent means actively agreeing to be sexual with someone. Consent lets someone know that sex is wanted. It's important to be honest with your partner about what you want, don't want, and consenting and asking for consent is all about setting your personal boundaries and respecting those of your partner and checking in so things are clear. Both people must agree to sex every single time for it to be consensual, because without consent, sexual activity is sexual assault and or rape. Consent is easy as fries. Freely given, reversible, informed, enthusiastic, specific. Freely given. Consent is a choice you make without pressure, manipulation, or under influence. Reversible, anyone can change their mind about what they feel like doing. Anytime, even if you've done it before, and even if you're both naked. Informed, you can only consent if you have the full story. For example, if someone says they're going to use a condom, then doesn't, that's not full consent. Enthusiastic, only do stuff you want to do. Don't do things that you feel you're expected to do. And specific, saying yes to one thing, like going to the bedroom and kissing, doesn't mean you've said yes to other things, like getting naked and having sex. You have the final say over what happens with your body. It doesn't matter if you have hooked up before, or if you've had sex with them before, even if you gave consent earlier and changed your mind. You are allowed to say no, stop, at any time. And your partner should respect that. Consent should always be clearly communicated. There should be no question of mystery. And silence is not consent. Right, now that we've talked about consent, I want to talk about the differences between rape and sexual assault. Because it's two crimes that have devastating consequences, and often their meanings are misunderstood. So what is rape? Well, rape is legally defined as a form of unwanted sexual penetration by another person. That includes oral, vaginal, or anal. Penetration, no matter how slight, by a sex organ, other body part, foreign object, without consent of the victim, is rape. Sexual assault is a term used to describe a range of sex crimes committed against a person. So it's unwanted or forced sex act or behaviour that has happened without a person's consent. So sexual assault may include rape, indecent assault, which is unwanted sexual touching, so fondling, accidental, I say that with quotation marks, touching, and acts of indecency, which is exposure. So, if you haven't consented to someone showing you their body, or them touching you or kissing you, that's sexual assault. When should we be talking about all of this to our young children? Well, according to many health and parenting websites, we should be starting to talk to our children about sexual choices, safe sex, at age 11. So why can't we teach our 11-year-olds about consent and what it means if you don't get consent? Girls are taught how to keep themselves safe from a very young age. Carry a rape whistle, don't walk alone at night, don't get in, go learn self-defense. If you get into a cab, you be on your phone, carry pepper spray, all that type of thing. Girls are taught that. We're taught how to keep ourselves safe so we don't become victims. But boys are not taught not to rape, because there's that notion of, well, boys will be boys, and it needs to stop. It's only going to stop through education and knowledge and letting boys know exactly what consent is, and then maybe we'll break that stereotype, and maybe we'll break the stereotype of she was asking for it. She wore a revealing dress. She was flirting with me. She, all that bullshit. You are only asking for it when you verbally give consent. Schools can only teach so much. I do think it's important to talk to your children about it and answer any questions they have truthfully and without anger or judgment. Because the more open and honest you are, the better informed they will be to make better and safer choices. I literally could talk about sex for so long, but I'm not going to because I know you all get bored. But I do think it's important that we educate our young kids about proper sex education and safe sex and consent and taboos and stop making them so taboo. You know, who cares if one person likes something and another person doesn't? That's it. It's being human. We all have different likes, we all have different dislikes, but we shouldn't be judged for those. And stop making sex so taboo. We're in 2021, for fuck's sake. You know, let's talk about sex if we want to talk about sex. So I'm probably will do another episode like this, slightly different, because as I said, I do think education is important. But you know, follow me on Instagram at coffeeconvoscursewords, and let me know what you think. Did you enjoy this episode? Do you want me to talk more about it? And yeah, so thank you for joining me today, and I'll talk to you guys soon. Bye.